KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 7:06 this morning, we have mostly cloudy skies here in the Nishna Valley and 60 degrees, your current temperature. We look for a high today near 76 as skies will gradually clear throughout the day. Good morning, I'm Chris Parks with KJAN News. An Emerson man has died and three others were injured after a head-on collision last night on Highway 34 in Mills County. The Iowa State Patrol reports the crash occurred at 10:32 p.m., 1 mile west of Hastings. A 2008 Dodge Caliber driven by 46-year-old Brent Jack of Emerson was traveling eastbound on Highway 34 just west of 350th Street and crossed the center line. Jack then ran head-on into a westbound 2014 Ford Taurus driven by 46-year-old David Bloom of Glenwood. Jack was pronounced dead at the scene, and Bloom and two other passengers transported by ambulance to area hospitals. David Bloom and 48-year-old Christine Bloom were transported to Creighton University Medical Center by Glenwood and Malvern Rescue. A 12-year-old minor passenger in the Bloom vehicle was taken by Malvern Rescue to the University of Nebraska Medical Center. A report on their conditions was not immediately available. The Iowa State Patrol was assisted at the scene by the Mills County Sheriff's Office, Malvern Rescue, Hastings Rescue, and Glenwood Rescue. Governor Terry Branstad says a working group will review Iowa's criminal justice practices to make recommendations for reform. Branstad announced the group's formation Friday during a summit in Ankeny that addressed racial disproportionality in Iowa's criminal justice system. The group will be given access to state agencies and other resources, and they will be expected to present a report with recommendations by November. Branstad says the deadline allows lawmakers to consider suggestions for the next legislative session. The working group will include experts on justice policies, including a representative from the Iowa Attorney General's office. The summit on Friday was organized by the Iowa-Nebraska State Area Conference of Branches for the NAACP. A medical board says it will not appeal an Iowa Supreme Court's decision that allows doctors to dispose abortion-inducing pills remotely via a teleconferencing system. Iowa Board of Medicine Chairman Hamid Tufik tells the Des Moines Register that the group will not appeal the June 19th decision to the U.S. Supreme Court. The board had 90 days to consider the option. Tufik tells a newspaper that board members consulted with attorneys and decided that an appeal would have been a complicated process. Planned Parenthood of the Heartland sued the board over a 2013 decision to require a doctor to be in the room with a patient when dispensing abortion-inducing medication. The Iowa Supreme Court agreed with Planned Parenthood's argument that the rule would have placed an undue burden on women. Federal prosecutors are prevailing in their year-long fight to access the emails of a once-powerful Republican consultant from Google Incorporated. U.S. District Judge John Jarvie rejected a request Friday to quash a warrant ordering Google to give the government the contents of Jesse Benton's Gmail account, in which he used to work on Ron Paul's 2012 presidential campaign and Senator Mitch McConnell's 2014 re-election. Google informed Benton last year of the warrant, saying it would comply unless he challenged it. Benton's attorney did, arguing it's overly broad and violated his privacy. A magistrate this month upheld the warrant. Google angered prosecutors by not producing records and giving Benton time to appeal. A Google attorney said it would respect Jarvie's decision. Benton and two others face charges stemming from the 2012 campaign. An Iowa power cooperative says it plans to add solar panels to the state to generate another source of energy. Central Iowa Power Cooperative said Thursday it plans to have the panels operational by the end of 2016. They're currently accepting bids for the work, which will determine where the panels are located and how much will be spent. SIPCO says the panels will be located on the ground. Officials expect to use at least 30 acres of land for the project, which may be split into several sites. Karen Morrow, a SIPCO spokeswoman, says generating solar energy is another way for the cooperative to provide clean electricity. Officials say they use resources including wind and hydroelectric as well. Cass Incorporated in Atlantic has announced they are making some redesign changes to how they provide services. These changes are necessary due to standards set by the Americans with Disabilities Act and another Supreme Court ruling called the Olmstead Decision. and are needed to keep compliant with Medicaid funding. One of the issues across the country for similar programs is not discriminating against people with disabilities by segregation, and that standard includes such things as sheltered workshops that are separated on their own, like the one CAS Incorporated currently operates in Atlantic. In response, CAS Incorporated is currently in a transformation process of moving everyone they serve into community services by a nationally mandated date of March 17th of 2019. Because they will have no further need for an industrial building, they will be selling their main building at 1406 Southwest 7th Street. CEO Linda Ferrier is stressing that this does not mean they are closing. They're simply shifting facility-based services from a building to the community at large. She said, "We already serve most of people in the community where they live, work, and participate in activities, as we have for many years. We will have administrative office space at another location, but the majority of our employees will work remotely, as they do now." Ferrier says they will continue to follow their mission to enrich lives and won't need bricks and mortar to do that. Taking a look now at your funeral announcements here this morning. Arnold Beyer, age 67, of Victor, has died. Graveside services for Arnold Beyer will be held today at 11 a.m. in the Noble Center Cemetery, 2 miles south of Lyman. Dune Funeral Home in Griswold has arrangements. Helen I. McNabb, age 104, of Granger and formerly of Shelby, died Tuesday in Granger. A memorial service for Helen McNabb will be held today at 1:30 p.m. at the Shelby United Methodist Church. Burmeister Johansson Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Richard Dick P. Canning, age 90, of Atlantic, died Wednesday at Atlantic Nursing and Rehab Center. Funeral services for Richard Canning will be held on Monday at 10:30 a.m. at Zion Lutheran Church in Atlantic. Roland Funeral Home Atlantic has arrangements. Joanne Bartlett, age 91, of Oakland, died Thursday at her home in Oakland. Funeral services for Joanne Bartlett will be held on Monday at 11 a.m. at the Oakland United Methodist Church. Reconvene Funeral Home in Oakland has arrangements. Harvey Anderson, age 93, of Coon Rapids, died Thursday at Thomas Rest Haven in Coon Rapids. Funeral services for Harvey Anderson will be held Monday at 2 p.m. at the First Christian Church in Coon Rapids. OD Funeral Home Coon Rapids has arrangements. Kathleen Kathy Louise Haynes, age 61, of Hancock, died Thursday at Select Specialty Hospital. A rosary service for Kathleen Kathy Louise Haynes will be held on Monday at 6 p.m. at the Polly Jones Funeral Home in Avoca. Nora Breddy, age 59, of Atlantic, died Thursday at her home. Services for Nora Breddy will be held on Wednesday at 2:30 p.m. at the Evangelical Free Church in Atlantic. Rowan Funeral Home Atlantic has arrangements. And Terry Ray, age 74, of Sioux City, formerly of Atlantic, died Thursday at Mercy Medical Center in Sioux City. Private services for Terry Ray will be held. Rowan Funeral Home in Atlantic has the arrangements. That's a look at your latest news and funeral announcements this 7 o'clock hour here on KJAN. I'm Chris Parks, KJAN News.